I just want to say this, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I just want to say that, you know, I don't know that I have seen a person grow any more than what I've seen Shane and Dan grow over the last couple years. Man, this guy, he's kind of been through the school of hard knocks. You know, he graduated from the Bible Institute, went out to help his dad with a new church plant. His dad died suddenly of a heart attack and totally unexpected, out of the blue. Shannon had to be the interim pastor and replace his father there. And that's a long story, isn't it, Shannon, right there? And, you know, there was a lot of trials and a lot of things that Shannon had to work through with the church, but then finally turned that over. And then we asked him to come back on our staff. He'd been on our staff. We asked him to come back on our staff again. And since then, man, this guy has just grown by leaps and bounds. He is... I know just one of your favorite speakers, I'm sure, to preach here at Crossroads, because he always gives us good content with great passion. And so tonight, if you have your booklet, we want you to open that up, please. And by the way, or I guess I should ask, does anybody need a booklet tonight? Just raise your hand. Do we have any ushers ready to go? I don't see any. No? Okay. No one's getting up, Brother Rob. I don't know. I guess we don't have anyone tonight to hand out the books. But if you need a book, I saw some hands. Raise your hand up real high, and our ushers, okay, over here. Great. All right. Do we have any extra books? Okay. Just lift them up high, and our ushers will be sure they run you. I know some of you weren't here yesterday because you were serving morning and night. So, all right. So, if you'll notice the message tonight, doing things heartily as to the Lord, Colossians chapter 3. Welcome, Brother Shannon Dan, to the pulpit tonight. Brother Shannon.
Preach, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. Wow. It's always a blessing being able to have this opportunity here. And I can't thank Pastor Dan enough. Really, it was through a lot of his support and encouragement during that time, and everyone here. What a blessing it was to see on the day that we had my dad's funeral, as the people were coming in, to see a lot of people from Crossroads come, and it was just such an encouragement to me for several years, actually, prior to going out. My dad actually started talking to me because he was starting the church. He started it 3-4 years before I graduated the Bible Institute. And I told him, no, I appreciate it. That's great. You know, I want to do that, but I got to finish the Bible Institute. It was a challenge I gave myself, and I knew I needed that time to grow and to learn. And so, you know, hey, I just want to just encourage you that are getting ready to graduate, all the graduates. You know, I've been there. I've walked down the aisle myself. I put in the 3 years, and I know the hard work that you put into it. Plus, I have the great blessing of also teaching now in the Bible Institute. So I've had many of you in my classes, and I know the effort that you've put in to the work and the learning and the papers. I know the just the sigh of, oh, papers. Everybody goes, are you doing tests or papers? Sorry, papers. But they're simple. You just put your time and effort into it, and everybody's done great. And so I want to thank the graduates for the time and the effort. You guys have been an encouragement to me while teaching in the Bible Institute. It's such a blessing. Please don't take this ministry for granted. If you haven't started a class, I want to encourage you. It is probably one of the greatest things that you can do to just help boost your learning and growing in God's Word. You'll grow by leaps and bounds by just dedicating yourself to the Bible Institute. So if you haven't already, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3. When Pastor Rich kind of sent out an email to all of us that were going to speak, he gave us the option of choosing what message we wanted to speak, minus, of course, Sunday morning. That's always your message. And Wednesday night, which is his, because the graduation. And I saw this title, Doing Things Heartily as to the Lord. And in Colossians 3, there's some great verses in there. And I had to grab onto it, because it really, it describes just the effort that I had to put into the Bible Institute, the desire to graduate, to go into full-time ministry. I had a new young family. There was a lot of things going on, and it required a lot of zest and gusto. And I was like, man, I want to be able to share this topic. So I grabbed on it, and I kind of chuckled as I look at the list. We're in the same order that we did last year. I was like, hey, how about that? We're doing it just like we did last year, except it was Philippians. So doing things heartily as to the Lord. Colossians 3, our key verses are going to be verses 23 and 24, but we're going to kind of go around the whole chapter. But before we begin, I want to go to the Lord in prayer right now. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for this opportunity. What a blessing it is to be able to serve just in this church and on staff and just in all the different ministries here. And Lord, it's so awesome to be able to serve with these great, great people that make up this awesome church family, Lord. And it's only because of just what you're doing in our lives, Lord, through your word. And Father, I pray tonight, as we're here to learn and grow from your truth, Lord, I pray that all of us just have a heart softened and eager and open, ready to learn and grow from your word. Lord, I pray tonight to be a humble, spirit-filled teacher. Just use me as your vessel, Lord. I pray to just be spirit-led. Just use me as your tool to share your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with everyone here. And Lord, I pray that we won't just be hearers of the word, but we'll become doers of the word. We'll take what we learned tonight, we'll apply it in our lives so we can be those shining lights for you. So that as we walk in the street, we interact with our communities, Lord, that they won't see us, they'll see Christ. And Lord, help us to just be beacons for you, sharing the gospel. And we give you all the praise and glory. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. I was thinking we can turn off the tear gas dispenser now. You know, I may have flashbacks back to the Marine Corps. But doing things heartily. You know, I mention it a lot, and I'm getting ready to talk about the Marine Corps again. I guess every time I get an opportunity, I do it. But I love history. I do. I love history. I read history. I watch the History Channel whenever I can. And I just got a whole list of documentaries and stuff, and I watch them over and over and over again. And one of the things I really like doing as far as history, you know, you can read about military history and conflicts and wars, but you really, one of the ways to really get to the heart of what the men and women went through as they fought overseas and different things is to read the Medal of Honor citations. Anybody ever read Medal of Honor citations? Man, you want to talk about humbling. Humbling. You read these over and over again. It's men and women who go above and beyond the call of duty. Just doing things, sacrificing themselves many times so that their fellow soldiers, Marines, sailors, what have you, can live. They give their lives. There was one I read not too long ago. In fact, I think I shared it with our Friday night crew out in Freedom Found Ministry. I read of one of a platoon of Marines in Vietnam, and they were going out on patrol. And while they were on patrol, they got ambushed by a battalion of North Vietnamese regular soldiers. And when they got ambushed, one of the ones that first got hit was a Lance Corporal, young Lance Corporal. He's 19 years old. He was a machine gunner, had the light machine gun. He got nailed several times in his legs and was dropped down. But instead of just laying there on the ground, as soon as he hit the ground, he went into action and he started firing onto the enemy with his light machine gun. He laid down such a heavy burst of fire that it gave the rest of his platoon the opportunity to seek cover and to start fighting back against the enemy. And he continued to lay down this barrage of light machine gun fire as wave upon wave of the enemy came in on his position, all the way to the point of within 5 feet. He was hit several more times, but he continued to keep fighting. Because of what he was doing, the medical corpsman was able to get to him, and several of his other buddies were able to get on either side, and they really were able to kind of give him some more cover fire. And while the corpsman is working on his legs, he continued to fight, and he continued to take enemy fire, getting hit several more times. In the course of this battle, the enemy came close enough that they lobbed a grenade into their position. And when the grenade landed on the ground, he rolled over on top of it, saving the lives of his fellow Marines and corpsmen in that unit. Because of his actions, because of his sacrifice, the rest of his platoon was able to go home back to base. And because of that, he got the Medal of Honor. And as I read that, I'm like, man, here's this Marine fighting over in a country where he probably can't pronounce half the names of the places over there. Probably for a purpose and a reason he really doesn't know other than to protect the lives of his fellow Marines. And here he is willing to give his life so that others may live. And it just hit me to the heart. I was like, you know, I remember having discussions of this when I was in the Marine Corps. And we were all willing to do the same thing for our buddies. But I'm not in the Marine Corps anymore. And I asked myself, am I really willing to serve to that level for the Lord? You know, there's times I look back, I was willing to give my life for my fellow Marines. But there's times when my wife, Shauna, says, could you do the dishes for me? And I go, oh. And then I read those and I'm convicted. And that's what this passage, that's what this chapter is really about here in Colossians chapter 3. You know, when I read those stories about great acts of service, they're acts of service in worldly affairs. And I wonder as Christians, how many of us are willing to serve in our walk with Christ to the same level as that young Lance Corporal right there in Vietnam? I wonder how many of us are really willing to give the ultimate sacrifice in the line for Christ. Are we willing to go above and beyond the call of duty when it comes to serving Christ and glorifying Him in a world that doesn't love Him? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verses 23 and 24. It states, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It says, whatsoever ye do, that covers just about everything, isn't it? Whatsoever ye do. Doesn't matter if you're going to the grocery store, mowing the grass, clipping your toenails, or serving both shifts in Walk Through Bethlehem, or going out on the second Saturday of every month and hanging door hangers or knocking on the door. Whatsoever ye do, God tells us to do it heartily. Heartily. That phrase, do it heartily, I love it. It means to serve with all your heart. It means to serve with every ounce of who you are. It means you're not saving a little bit for something else. It means every little bit of you from head to toe is to serve unto Christ. You're to do it with everything you got. Listen, no matter where you may be in your walk with the Lord, whether you're a new believer, or you're a graduate of the Bible Institute, or you've been saved and growing for 20, 30 years, no matter where you may be in your walk with the Lord, you can serve in all things with all your heart. You can do it. And so tonight we're going to see, how can you serve with all your heart? How are you going to serve the Lord heartily? The first point is by focusing your thoughts on biblical principles. If you're going to serve the Lord heartily in whatsoever you do, you got to be focusing your thoughts on biblical principles. Listen, you're encouraged in Scripture to do whatever it is you do, all right, with all your heart, just as if you were serving the Lord directly. That means when I do something, those dishes for Shauna over here, I shouldn't be doing them for Shauna. I should be doing them for Christ. That's what it's saying. Whatever we do, we need to do it for Christ. And listen, an important ingredient in serving others is a focused effort towards applying God's principles in your life. If you're going to serve with all your heart as unto the Lord, then you can't do it by feeding your heart and your mind with the world's garbage. Okay? You can't go out there to the self-help section of your bookstore and start filtering in all that stuff and go, I'm going to go serve the Lord. You can't do it. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Go over to Colossians 3. Look at verse 1. This is a great verse. Great verse. Colossians 3:1 states, if ye then be risen with Christ. Listen to this. If you've trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We're to seek something. But we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ is at. That word seek means to attempt to find, to desire to obtain. It's ultimately to worship God, to seek those things. It's to go after. You know, when the time came that I got to know Shauna and we were working and serving together in ministry, and all of a sudden there was that moment that she wasn't just, you know, my sister in Christ. All of a sudden it was like, hey. As Pastor Rich puts it, hubba hubba. Right? There was a time that I was like, wait a minute, there's something about her. There's something about her. I'm going home and I can't get her out of my head. And all of a sudden I desired to spend more time with her. And when that happened, I didn't go, okay, and came over here. No, I was thinking about, okay, how do I go about doing this? How can I spend more time? I started just seeking after Shauna. And that's the idea that we're supposed to be doing with Christ. And thankfully, man, I went to this verse because I knew I'd messed it up before so many times in my life prior. That's what got me into so much trouble, seeking after relationships I should never have. And I realized that if I am going to truly serve her as Christ would have me do it, I got to seek Him first. I got to seek those things which are above. Listen, your desire should be to search after or to desire to obtain a closer relationship with Christ. That should be your number one desire. I can't serve Shauna unless I'm serving Christ first. I can't seek after her welfare if I'm not seeking after Christ. And it goes on with my children. It goes on with the rest of my family. It goes on with my ministries and so on and so forth. You should be desiring to search after, to obtain, to get that closer relationship with Christ. But listen, this is never ever going to happen if you're pursuing the world more. It's never going to happen. Look down at verse 2. He goes on to say, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Then look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You got to now set your affection on things above, not on earthly things. That phrase, set your affection on, means to exercise the mind, to entertain, to have a sentiment or opinion about. To be mentally disposed to. I like this. To interest oneself in. I like that phrase, exercise your mind. I share it with my oldest, Cameron, as she's doing homework. You know, what does this mean, Cameron? It's a muscle. You got to work it. Okay? You got to put some thought into it. If I just give you the answers, it's going to be a weak muscle. Listen, you got to exercise your mind. You got to set your affection, your focus, your desire, all your thoughts towards the things of God. Listen, how do you exercise your mind? How are you? Are you watching things on the TV? You know, are you searching that self-help section? Are you seeking the advice of your neighbor before God's Word? How are you exercising your mind? What interests do you have? What opinions do you form? The Bible says you should focus your mind on godly things, not the world's philosophy or ideas. You know, I tell my crew in Freedom Found all the time, listen, you want to get that growing relationship with Christ, you got to be willing to look in the mirror. You got to be self-reflecting. You got to be looking at what decisions am I making? Where am I going? Who am I hanging out with? And if they're not lining up with God's word, you got to change them. If you find that you're exercising your mind towards worldly things, then shift it away towards godly things. The Bible says you got to focus on godly things. Listen, the key to this is that word exercise. It takes effort. I don't know how many out here, maybe some of you are just, you know, super woo men, and you can get on that workout machine and you're lifting 500 pounds, no problem. You know, I know I'm a big guy, but, you know, it takes me a while to get up to there. Okay? I'm having to start all over again. You know? But it takes work. It takes effort. And that's the same way. You're not going to sit down in front of your Bible once and all of a sudden, poof, you know everything. It's going to take time reading, studying. That's what I love, 2 Timothy 2:15. God doesn't say, just lounge your way through the Bible, you'll be approved. You know? Just kind of, you know, sprinkle a verse here and there, you'll be fine. No, he says, study to show thyself approved. You want to be approved unto God, you got to study. You got to get in the Word. You got to exercise your mind. Listen, you can't just sit on the couch or in the pew and expect to serve God and others fervently, heartily, with every ounce of your body, with every ounce of your soul. It ain't going to happen. You got to go beyond that. You got to exercise. You got to move. You got to do. You got to get in God's Word. Study it. Start applying it in your life. Look in the mirror. Go, what areas do I need to change? And start making the changes. There's a great verse here in Psalm 119, verse 10. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart. You know, many times, and I'm guilty of this, there's times, man, I just want to get in there and I'm studying, but my mind is kind of going off on other things. I'm just kind of half in it. Man, that verse there says, with my whole heart, with everything that I am, should be searching after God. So how do you focus your thoughts on godly principles? Man, go over to verse 16 here in chapter 3 of Colossians. There's two great verses here that are going to give you keys on how to get your thoughts just focused on godly principles. Look at verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Isn't that a great passage? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word dwell means to inhabit, means to live. It means to stay put. Okay? And you add that word richly to it, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not just live in you, but it's got to be living richly. Richly means copiously. Anybody use that word anymore? That's a great word. Copiously. It means yielding something abundantly. Plentiful in number. So listen, God's word isn't just supposed to live in you. It's supposed to be overflowing from you. It's supposed to just be bubbling out. It means you keep trying to cram more in there. And if you forget a verse, it's okay because you'll be cramming it again. It means to dwell richly, to live. I think about the difference between my house and a motel room. You know, motel room is great when you're on the road and you're on vacation. All right, but listen, we don't move our bed in there, our dresser, our refrigerator, and all that. No, we don't do that. Why? Because we're only there temporarily. But in our house, man, we get all cozy. We get so we can just relax and just take in everything. That's what God's Word needs to do. It shouldn't just be in one ear, not the other. It's got to get in there and stay put. Don't let God's Word be just a motel. Man, be a house. Be a house. Let it dwell in you. Don't let it go in and out. Don't let God's word just go off to a garage sale and disappear. Be filled in with worldly stuff. Listen, the Bible shouldn't just be, well, it's a little weekend reader. You know? Got a little extra time. Maybe I'll read the Bible. No, listen, getting in God's word has got to be one of the greatest priorities in your life. Listen, those of you that are graduating, it's a great night, Wednesday night. But wasn't that a blessing to hear from Sherry? What's she doing? Signing up for another class. She wants that to dwell. Don't let graduation day be the day, okay, I can take a vacation. No, let it be your motivation to keep growing, to get back in more classes. You should be serving the Lord heartily. So how can you serve others with all your heart? By focusing your thoughts on godly principles. The second point is by establishing godly boundaries in your life. You got to establish godly boundaries in your life. Not only should you be growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ, all right, not only should it be a priority in your life, but in order to do so, you need to watch out for the traps of the world and fleshly behavior. You got to watch out for the traps of the world and the flesh. And listen, in order to defend against these traps of the flesh, you got to establish boundaries in your life that are going to protect you from those traps. And they're going to ultimately help you to glorify God. Listen, there's no way for you to serve with all your heart if you're surrounding yourself with things of the world, with constant temptations and constant worldly traps. There's no way. You're going to find yourself down the road, and it'll be subtle. Before you know it, you're caught. You're caught. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verses 5 through 10. It says here, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Listen, imagine what it would be like a world without boundaries. You know, no stoplights. I mean, imagine no front door. You're eating dinner. And somebody down the street's walking their dog and they just walk right in. They're like, "What are you doing?" "I gotta use the bathroom." You know? And you're like, "Whoa, wait a minute. No door. How about hurricane season? No windows." You know? You're sitting at the same dinner table. "Hey, could you pass them?" "Whoa." You know? We need boundaries. I always share, hey, how many of you like to be on the 10-story hotel out there on the beach and look out at the sunrise, you know, out on the balcony, lean in? How many of you lean us? How many of you are going, "I ain't going to lean out on that thing"? No, we do. What do you do? You lean out there on that railing. Well, imagine if there's no railing. How many of us will go out on the balcony? I wouldn't. I'll look through the sliding glass door. You know, you need boundaries. Need boundaries. Colossians 3:5 says to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. That means to deaden, to subdue, to kill. And then it goes on the list, and we read that. Colossians 3:5, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, all that sexual sin. Get rid of it, all that wickedness. But then it says anger, wrath, malice. Don't let it be a part of your life. Put up boundaries. Lying. All of that. It says mortify it, deaden it, subdue it. Get it in control. Ignore it. Don't let it be a part of your life. Listen, those are all actions of the flesh and are no longer who you are in Christ. Listen, those are the things that the world are going to tempt you with. They're going to tell you it's okay to do it. That person deserved to be yelled at. But don't do it. God tells you to mortify. If you allow those things to fester, all it's going to do is bog you down and turn you away from serving the Lord. So what kind of boundaries should you put up with? Or what kind of boundaries should you put up? What kind of boundaries should you have to protect you from the tug of the flesh? Look at verses 12 through 15. Goes on to say, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. I like that, bowels of mercies. That's just mercy just filling your inside. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Those are the boundaries you put up to protect against the flesh and the world and the consequences that come with them. Listen, as you establish godly boundaries in your heart, you'll open your life to a great opportunity of serving just heartily unto the Lord. You'll find yourself naturally seeking those things which are above. And as you do, what's great then is the Holy Spirit will just give you more of those boundaries of love and charity and long-suffering to endure the trials out here. How can you serve others with all your heart? Well, first, focusing your thoughts on godly principles. You got to get in God's Word. And then you got to apply them in your life. And you have to start establishing godly boundaries in your life. You got to start saying, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to glorify God. And if the world spits on me, so be it. So be it. But the third principle is by becoming a faithful servant. You got to be a faithful servant. In order to serve others with all your heart, just as you would the Lord, you must become a faithful servant. Listen, you can't just serve, okay? You cannot serve with all your heart when it's just convenient, okay? It's got to be at all times, regardless of the circumstances. And that doesn't mean that every time you serve, you're just, woo, I'm just a hard charger, I'm going to do it all, it's wonderful. I know my world's falling apart, but everything's great. No, it is. I'm suffering. But I know Christ will see me through. I know it. I mean, you learn that. Man, go on a hospital visit. I can't tell you how many times I go out there to be a blessing to someone who's stuck out in the hospital. And I leave there just scratching my head going, what? Because I'm the one who just got blessed. To see them suffering in the hospital, just praising God. Sharing the gospel with the nurses that come in. You're just like, wow. They're living that out. They're faithful. They're not letting this situation in their life keep them from serving the Lord. Listen, you can't just serve when it's convenient for you. This starts with remembering how Christ served with all His heart for sinners. Listen to Philippians 2, 5 through 8, which says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but here you go, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For a world that scorned him, beat him, spit on him, he went to the cross and paid the ultimate penalty so that everyone will have the opportunity to have that eternal life. Listen, it's also important to not just focus on those things that you want. And we all have them. We all have them. And it's natural for us to want some things. You know? I want my wife to love me. That's a good thing. Okay? But listen, it's not just those things we want. You got to be focusing on others. That's the whole idea. You want to be a faithful servant, you got to be focusing on others. Just like Christ did. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. It may even be in your booklet, I think. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look not on your own things, but every man also on the things of others. That word look means to take aim at. And you know, when you take aim at something, you're not just casually going, hey, okay. No. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, we had to qualify on the rifle on the 200-yard line, the 300-yard line, and the 500-yard line. And listen, when you're on the 200-yard line, that's no problem. You're sitting there with the rifle, you can just boom, 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 hit the target. No problem. You get out on the 300-yard line, it gets a little bit more difficult. You got to kind of focus a little bit more. Once you get out on the 500-yard line, that's when the sweat starts coming. And you really have to concentrate and you really have to focus. Listen, you can't just take aim just casually. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes a focus. It takes being faithful. And listen, it's easy. It's easy when you know someone. Listen, I can look to Shauna's needs, no problem. I'm close to her. It's like shooting on that 200-yard line. But it's those people that you don't know. Those are the hard ones. They take a little bit more effort, a little more action. But listen, you still focus on them though. You still, God says, take aim at them. Look to their needs. Listen, sometimes we get the wrong idea about how to serve faithfully. We think you got to be a graduate of the Bible Institute. You got to teach a life group. You got to be in full-time ministry. But no, listen, serving faithfully means that you're just committed. You're committed. You take time. You sacrifice your time to go. Listen, some of the greatest ways that you can serve faithfully are really what we think sometimes are insignificant ways. I think of the people who come and vacuum this platform every week. Every week, without fail, the volunteers here vacuuming, so we've got a clean platform. The people who come and clean bathrooms, or the people behind the scenes you never hear about and walk through Bethlehem. The people who faithfully come and just pray for our ministries. Whatever it is, the people who come day after day and give of their time to learn a new language, like ASL, so that the deaf can come and hear the gospel. You know, what makes serving faithfully, okay, it's not the type of service you do. It really isn't the, you know, are you preaching or are you cleaning? It's really not the type of service you do. It's the heart behind the service that gets done. That's the difference between just serving or serving faithfully. Look at Colossians 13, 18 through 22 as I wrap this up. We get an example of how we're supposed to serve. And I'll just kind of briefly go through it. Verse 18 says, wives should be serving their husbands. Verse 19, husbands should be serving their wives. Children, serving their parents. Fathers should be serving their children. Everyone should be serving those in authority over them. Verse 22. Listen, the key to every single one of these is one word. Faithfulness. If you're really going to serve. Listen, I can't faithfully serve Shauna for just a few years and go, okay, it's time to move on. We wouldn't say I'm faithful. Okay? I can't go, all right, I've had my kids for about 6 years. Time to, you know, trade them off. You know, that's not faithful. You know, it's like the time when Joshua ripped the car door handle. Okay? Y'all wanted to rip my hair out. But I didn't get rid of them. Why? Because I love them. And I got to be faithful. So we just had it fixed. Thank you, Jeff. Put a screw in it. You know? Listen, it's when the times get tough. It's when all of a sudden it's not just glorifying and great. It's when you don't get the pat on the back that you keep doing it. Why? Because you're not doing it for the pat on the back. You're doing it so God gets the glory. Listen, the godly husband can't just serve his wife when it's convenient. Parents can't trade their kids in every few years. All right? You don't just serve at work or in ministry when, well, maybe I'll serve today. You know, hey, Pastor Dan, I don't feel like coming in tomorrow. I'll come in the next day. That's not faithful. You can't do that. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Listen, if you're going to do things heartily with just all your heart and desire, just as you would unto the Lord, you're going to serve in ministry, you're going to serve out in your neighborhoods, whatever it is you do, you got to do it faithfully. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," he says, "the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We're to serve heartily in all that we do as unto the Lord. And how can we serve the Lord with all our heart? First, by focusing your thoughts on biblical principles. Second, by establishing godly boundaries in your life. And third, by becoming a faithful servant.